Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Tennis Podcast. We're getting down to the business end at Flushing Meadows as we reach the quarterfinal stages of the 2014 US Open. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined on the line by Sky Sports' Nick Lester. How are you, Nick?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you. Yeah, very well.
Good. You enjoying the US Open so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, like a lot of the obviously slams this year, there's been quite a few new names that have come to the four younger guys have started to play well as well. You know, you think of someone like Dominic Thiem, obviously you have TC Bellis in the first week that made her name. So I think there's been, you know, it's been sort of followed, if you like, in the line of the year where there's definitely been a shake-up, I think, of some of the younger guys who have started to come through. And I think that's only good for the sport going forward.
Yeah, it is, and we've seen, yeah, like you say, some interesting young players coming through this year. We'll move on to those shortly. Just before we get stuck into the matches, though, Nick, you've been over in America at Flushing Meadows, and watching it on TV, I've never been, but watching it on TV, it always seems to be a pretty good atmosphere there and big crowds. It must be quite an event to go to.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's so unique in that regard. I think what they've done to the grounds this year has been fantastic as well, because they've expanded the grounds on the outside courts, which has been a really good addition, and I think it's only going to get better next year. They're moving forward to try and make it, you know, new courts being built. So, yeah, it's very, very unique, I have to say. I think it's buzzing. You know, the energy, I think, that comes from New York does tend to plug into Flushing Meadows, and I think that's what, you know, that's what makes it special. I think it's getting very close to being my favourite Grand Slam. I think, you know, it's just so different from the others, and I think that's what makes it so great.
Yeah, it is a special Grand Slam, and let's get stuck into the matches then. We'll start with the women's quarterfinals. We'll go through all four of those, and then we'll move on to the two that we've got in the men's at the moment. Novak Djokovic taking on Andy Murray in the men's quarterfinals, which is the tie of the round. It looks spectacular, but we'll start with the women's, and Belinda Bencic against Peng Shuai is the first of them. Bencic 11-10, Peng is 8-11. Now Bencic has been made to work fairly hard, but beat Kerber and beat Jankovic in straights in the last two rounds. Youngest quarter finalist since Martina Hingis as well, so we'll start with her. She's made a big rise in this tournament, hasn't she?
Yeah, and of course the story being, we mentioned Hingis, being that she's coached by Hingis's mum, of course Melanie Molitor, who doesn't travel anymore these days. She stays back home because Bencic's father actually does a lot of the work with her as well. So it's an incredible story. Martina Hingis has actually been on site watching it on every single one of her matches. She's followed her since her mum obviously took her over, and she's been a massive influence as Martina as well. So great story, Bencic. You know, she had a fantastic junior career. She won the junior French, junior Wimbledon last year. And this year's obviously made the breakthrough in the seniors. She has quite a unique game. She has a Hingis. There are certainly bits of Hingis's game that you can see in there. I mean, the technique's very solid. Doesn't hit the ball huge, but her backhand is probably her best shot, which again could probably be the set of Hingis. And you know, she had some great wins. You know, you've got to say, you look at the results she's had, beating, as you say, Kerber, Jankovic, she beat Karumi Nara, I think, early doors here. So, you know, it's not as if the draw's opened up and she's beaten nobody's. I mean, she's beaten some very, very solid players out here. The only concern I have in this match, playing Peng Shuai, who obviously likewise has had some good wins, is Peng Shuai is someone who rushes you. She tends to stand right up on the baseline. She's two hands off both sides. And I'm not entirely sure that Bencic has played a player this year who is going to really rush her. The forehand technique is a little bit shaky for Bencic. She does tend to take the ball a little bit late. She can connect the ball a little bit late. And I have a feeling that Peng Shuai could actually get into that side enough to be able to really just rush Bencic today. That's why I think there's a bit of value in Peng Shuai. I really do. I think she's played really well. I've seen a lot of this lady over the years. I remember watching a woman a couple of years ago. You know, she's very solid. She doesn't make a lot of mistakes off the ground. She's good coming forwards as well because she plays a lot of doubles, so she's able to finish points off at the net. And of course, at some point, the experience has to play a part. And I just think for this 17-year-old, I have a feeling that playing Peng Shuai, where suddenly there is a bit of pressure on her to win, whereas perhaps there haven't been before, I think there might be a bit of value in Peng Shuai here. I think the Chinese girl could well get it done here, and it may well be 2-1. I quite fancy her to win in straight, actually.
Okay, Peng Shuai could be a bit of value there then. She's had some big results herself, of course, beating Radvanska and Safarova so far. She's 8-11 to win the match. If you think she'll win in straights, it sounds like Nick's leaning that way as well. That's 7-4 and 2-1 to Peng Shuai's 3-1. So are you going to side with the straights then?
Yeah, I do. I think she's, you know, I think she's obviously has the experience of being a little older. She's, as you mentioned, the win she's had. I mean, she's been with some very good players already. Safarova especially. Radvanska obviously won in Canada, so she's got it done. She's very tidy off both sides, Peng Shuai. There's not a lot of holes in her game. And I just think she could rush Bencic today on perhaps what will be a, you know, the boots on the other foot today for Bencic. I mean, coming here as the underdog now, suddenly people are looking at her first quarterfinal of the major. Likewise for Peng Shuai, of course, but I just think Peng Shuai, you know, I think the way she plays and the way she can attack, she might be able to rush the Bencic forehand, which is where you want to go. And I think, you know, that could well be the deciding factor.
Okay, let's move on. Caroline Wozniacki against Sara Errani's the next one we'll look at. Wozniacki beat Maria Sharapova in three sets in the last round to reach the quarterfinals for the first time since the 2012 Australian Open. She was runner-up here back in 2009 as well, so a bit of a renaissance for Caroline Wozniacki. Sara Errani beat Venus Williams in the third round, and she beat Lucic Baroni in the last 16. It's priced up 2-9 in the favour of Wozniacki. Errani is 3-1. Do you see it as one-sided as the betting suggests there?
No, not really. I have to say, I think that's surprising, given the prices. I think Wozniacki's definitely a firm favourite. I think she's improved out of sight this summer. I think her serves come on a bunch. You know, that's been the key thing for me, the way she's serving. She's definitely technically, I think, getting more zip off the serve. She's starting to move into the serve a bit more. Definitely starting to be a little more aggressive off the back of the court as well. Ground these are more solid. And you know, there's that X factor as well of the whole Rory situation, which will still linger in the background of what happened there, because I do think, you know, that is as much as the positives as Rory took from that in what was a negative situation, I think she's starting to reap those rewards of that breakup. I think, you know, she's then now focused on what's going on here, and it's been a great summer for her, not just here. She's definitely a favourite to beat Errani. I think, you know, Errani's tough. Let's make no mistake about it. You know, she's had some good wins here this week, and she may not have a great second serve, the second serve being a real weakness of hers, of Errani, but Wozniacki's not really going to be, you know, be able to, I don't think, punch too many holes in that. So it's not like she's playing a Serena Williams who will mop it up. So there's going to be a lot of baseline rallies in this one. There's going to be a lot of long duels, I think. I like Wozniacki just, I think, for the confidence that she's picked up from this summer. She's a great hardcourt player. She's a better hardcourt player than Errani. That's first and foremost, I'd say, as well to look at. And I think overall, I think she should have enough today. I actually see her getting to the final, Wozniacki, now. The way it's panned out, I think she could well make the final. And I think she'll probably get this done in two close sets. But Errani's certainly a bit of a warrior. You know, she's a David Ferrer-esque sort of player, as we know. She will chase and she will hustle. But I just think there's confidence. Wozniacki has a swagger and a confidence about her at the moment that I don't think she's had since she was world number one. And I think that's very, very positive for her.
Okay, Wozniacki to win that one then. Straight sets is priced up at 8-13. Just Wozniacki on her own is 2-9. So that's that one. Moving on to the third of the quarterfinals, Victoria Azarenka takes on Ekaterina Makarova. Azarenka is 8-11, came from a set down to beat Krunic in the last 16, one of the surprise packages in this year's US Open. Runner up in this for the last 2 years. She's gone so close. Can she get there again? Makarova, yet to drop a set, battled past Eugenie Bouchard in the last 16 in what was pretty warm conditions. And Makarova's 11-10, so it's 8-11 for Azarenka and 11-10 for Makarova. How do you see this one going, Nick?
Do you know what? I'm actually firmly in the Makarova camp here. I've watched Makarova play 3 matches in the last week. She's playing great. She all round is looking. She has a bit of the Kvitova about her in many ways, with the lefty, the power that she has. She defends well off both sides as well. Forehand can be a little bit shaky. That's the only shot that can break down. But as a major player, she's been super consistent. I mean, I think she's made 3 or 4 quarterfinals now. And I just think Azarenka hasn't had enough matches. I think she probably will pull up a little tired from yesterday's match. You know, this is the first really kind of big tournament she's played this year outside of Australia, obviously, where she had a run there. But I think Makarova is well worth the value here. I really do. I think she's... you know, she probably is, for my money, a better player than where she is in the rankings right now. She's been super consistent, as I say. Look at the year she's had as well. I mean, there's been very few early defeats for her. I think her game's improved pretty much month upon month. And as I say, I think she has the ability to take it. I think she's probably more match type than Azarenka. I really do. I think she's more match type than Azarenka. I think she should be able to outmaneuver her. She certainly has the weight of shot to hurt her. And I just think Azarenka's not had enough matches of this sort of quality for me to be in her camp. So that's why I think I'll be looking at Makarova.
Okay, looking towards Makarova, what kind of match do you see it being? Do you see it being a three-setter, or do you think Makarova will get it done in straights? How do you see it going?
I think he could well go to three. Yeah, I think he could well go to three. Obviously, it's, you know, Azarenka is one of the toughest competitors there is. But I do think over the whole, I think Makarova has made a lot of improvements this year. You know, as I say, I watched her first round and her third round match this week, and you know, she looks very, very comfortable and very solid, and she has done well the majors as well. You know, it's not as if this is a massive surprise with the results that she's had this week, and you know, it's just a case of her making the next step, and I think this is a good opportunity for her to do that.
Okay, Makarova to win 2-1 then there is quite a nice price, 7-2 for that to happen. And on to the last of the quarterfinals, Serena Williams takes on Flavia Panetta. Williams, obviously, great record here, 5-time US Open champion. She's had pretty usual progress as well to this point, straight sets wins in each of her matches. She takes on Panetta, who's been growing into the competition, came from a set down in her opener, but I don't think she dropped a set since. 14-1 on for Serena Williams here. Panetta is 7-1. Can you see past Serena?
No, not particularly. Again, it does look as though there's just a little bit more incentive this week. Again, I haven't seen all her matches. I saw a couple, certainly the one against when she beat Lepchenko. I watched a little bit of that. It just feels as though there's just a bit more bite in what she's doing this week. I think there's a bit more, it seems to be a bit more of an incentive that it looks as though the old kind of Serena from last year is back, that kind of ruthless Serena, whereas, of course, the losses she's had this year have hurt. You know, the defeats, obviously, early in the French and at Wimbledon and at the Aussie. You know, it shouldn't be forgotten that she hasn't made a semi-final this year at a major. So I think they have definitely hurt. And it feels as though, you know, when the chips are down for her, certainly, and the extra incentives there, that's when she plays her best tennis. And I think that's happened this summer. I think she's rebounded from Wimbledon, obviously, which was, you know, it was a fairly controversial end to Wimbledon, of course, with all that happened in the doubles there. So I think she took her time away. She regrouped. And I think you can see it here this week. Flavia Panetta, obviously, is a great athlete. She defends as well as anyone, I think, in the women's game. Again, has very few holes in the game. But, you know, again, you look at the break it down, the serve. If you put those two together, Serena Williams is going to win that match all day. And I just think she'll probably be able to overpower her. There's a reason it's 5-0 in the head-to-head. I think they played a couple of months ago and Serena won something like 3-3. So, you know, you've got to go with Serena, I think.
Okay, does she get it done in straight sets then?
I would imagine so. Yeah, I would certainly imagine so.
Okay, 1-4, so slightly better value than the 1-14 on Serena to win that. That's the look of the women's quarterfinals then. Just quickly before I move on to the men's, the outright betting looks like this for the tournament. 8-13 for Serena Williams, Caroline Wozniacki is 7-2, 9-1 for Victoria Azarenka, 16s for Makarova, Peng Shuai is 20-1, and then 25s or bigger prices for the others. Is it Serena's to lose here at that kind of price?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I think certainly the way it's panned out so far, I certainly think it is. Yeah, and as I say, I think Makarova would certainly be my one to watch as well.
Okay, Makarova, big price, 16-1 if you fancy an each-way shot on her. Let's move on to the men's then. A couple of the men's quarterfinals have already been decided. We'll move on to the big one in a moment, but we'll start with Stanislas Wawrinka against Kai Nishikori. Wawrinka has taken 4 sets to win in all of his matches that have been completed so far. He did have a walkover in one of them as well. Kai Nishikori twice came from behind to beat Milos Raonic in 5 sets. 4-7 for Wawrinka, and Nishikori is 11-8. Just looking at the paths through here, do you think this one's going to be one that goes the distance?
No, I don't actually. I think, you know, it's going to be mighty tough for Nishikori to recover after a finish at 2:30 in the morning over 5 sets for a guy who's physically, whose body has pretty much let him down for the large part of his career. I think that really is going to be, you know, if you're laying some money down on this, that's the biggest concern for Nishikori, because having seen a couple of sets of the way he played last night, you know, he played okay, but he certainly wasn't outstanding. Again, you know, he seems to have this ability to play 2 or 3 bad games a set, certainly behind his own serve. And I think that, you know, you won't be able to do that against Wawrinka. Wawrinka's had a pretty rough summer, it should be said. I mean, he didn't play well post-Wimbledon. He didn't play well in either Toronto or Cincinnati. He lost early there. Didn't look particularly interested coming in there. But again, seems to have regrouped. And, you know, when the majors come around, the big guys tend to step up. I haven't seen all of his matches this week, I must say. But from what I hear last night, obviously, you know, Tommy Robredo, one of the best competitors out there, was able to beat him in 4 sets. Just feel he's going to be able to blow too many holes, I think, in Nishikori's game. I think he probably can expose the second serve as well. Obviously, that is the Achilles heel of Nishikori. You would imagine that the Wawrinka could probably be aggressive off that shot and get him into defensive positions. And as I say, Nishikori is yet to prove at a major that he can beat, you know, three top 15 players back to back. And until he does that, I think you have to be in the Wawrinka camp. I'm pretty sold, I think, on Stan. I think he was a semi-finalist, obviously, here last year. Conditions do suit. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if this was straight sets.
Okay, Wawrinka to win in straight sets then. That's 3-1, 4-7 for Wawrinka on the match betting. And we'll move on to the other of the men's quarterfinals that we know so far. And it's quite a good one to move on to as well. Novak Djokovic against Andy Murray, a repeat of the 2012 final. And if he's anywhere near that, we'll be in for quite a treat here. Novak Djokovic won all four matches in straight sets, the latest being against Philipp Kohlschreiber. Andy Murray improved through the tournament, did have a few problems earlier on in the US Open this year, but beat Songer in straights last time. Would you say that's his best performance so far?
Yes, I certainly would. It's been a very kind of typical sort of major, isn't it, for Andy Murray? You know, he obviously had the issues in the first round with a cramp, where somehow he was able to find a way through to beat Robin Haase. Was scratchy, probably, in rounds two and three. He played pretty well against Kuznetsov before, and then dropping that third set. And then yesterday just had a little bit too much for Songa, who seems to, you know, somehow get to the round of 16 and is that kind of nearly man still. He probably will remain that way for his career. But looking at just what Murray was talking about yesterday in his press conference and everything else, he obviously feels that he's getting there. I mean, you have to be realistic about it. Murray hasn't still playing his best tennis. Since he won Wimbledon last summer, there still hasn't been the tennis that he produced that day. We've yet to see a performance of that magnitude, certainly, that since that Wimbledon final. So I think we're all kind of waiting for it. And I think he's waiting for it to an extent as well, for it to return, for whatever reason it may be. It's definitely been an upward curve, for the four matches he's played here from the last I saw yesterday, the match with Songa. Certainly he was able to break Songa down, which is exactly as you thought it would be. You know, he has more game than Songa, simple as that. And obviously Songa was just producing too many unforced errors when it really mattered. And I think as far as Djokovic goes, he's done nothing wrong. You know, again, everything so far points towards that he's got his mojo back after, again, a very flat summer. You know, again, the two events coming in were very, very poor. I think he said himself he had pretty much had, you know, no motivation to go to play either of those events. He did a bit of a break, went back home to Monte Carlo post Cincinnati. He had some time at home with his pregnant wife, and then has got it back here. You know, again, has got the bit between his teeth, if you like. So as you said, this without doubt, I think he's the pick of the quarterfinals. I do think there's a bit of value in Murray. I mean, if you look at the price, obviously being 3-1, possibly something around that, 11-4. What is the price of Murray at the moment?
5-2 on Murray.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to make a case for him at that price. You know, obviously the way he's played, obviously he beat him here in the final a couple of years ago. The big question is, he's going to need to go up a level. There's no secrets between these two. They've played obviously a number of times. You know, there's not a lot of secrets. Djokovic won four of the last five, I think, outside of that Wimbledon defeat. It's just whether you feel Murray can reproduce his best tennis. He feels he's getting close. I think it's tough for me to go against Djokovic right now.
Okay, yeah, Djokovic loves it at the US Open, of course. Four of the last 6 years, he's at least reached the final. He's 130 on to win this match. Just going back to Andy Murray a second as well. Even when he was on the verge of victory against Songa, he was still... looks as if he's carrying a knock, or, you know, something's not quite right. He looks like he's in a little bit of pain somewhere. Do you think he is fully fit yet?
Yeah, I do. I think that's just Murray. I think we've seen that over the years, haven't we? With him, you learn that his body language certainly defies probably how he feels for a large part of it, because you never quite know. He's one of the hardest guys, I think, to get a hold of. So I think physically he's absolutely fine. I mean, the issues you have to think of yesterday in New York, the humidity in New York yesterday was off the scale. I mean, it's the last couple of days have been very, very tough in that regard. You know, you don't often see David Ferrer meltdown like he did, and that gives you an idea of how tough it was. I heard Goran Ivanišević talking yesterday, saying that, you know, people really underestimate that side of New York. It's not quite as hot as it is in Australia, but it's the humidity that gets to you. And that obviously was the case for a couple of players here this week. So I think physically, if players look as though they're wilting, you know, it's hard. These are very, very brutal conditions. So Murray's as fit as they come. You know, always has been. It's always been one side of his game he's taking care of. So I'm not really worried about that. He's going to need to be, though, isn't he? Because as is the man on the other side of the net. So you know, as I say, there's no secrets here. I do think, you know, there has to be a bit of value in Murray, I think, at 5-2. I think that you know, there has to be a little bit of that. That's not a bad price for me. But again, you know, you're going to need him to step up his game, because he's going to need to definitely play at another level. There's going to be very, very long rallies. It wouldn't surprise me if this went five. I think, obviously, by the nature of the way the two play and how well they know each other's games, I think if both play well, it could well go to five sets like it did in the final here a couple of years ago. But I think I'd probably just shade the Djokovic.
Okay, just shading Djokovic there then. If you think it will go to 5, 3-2 in favour of Djokovic is 11-2, 3-2 in favour of Andy Murray is 8-1, and number of sets in the match to be 5, you don't have to name a winner that way, is 11-4, but leaning towards Djokovic there then. I know we don't know the full quarter-final lineup yet, but as it stands at the moment, who do you think will go on to win it in the men's?
Well, I said Federer at the start of the event, and I'm not going to go away from him. I think it could well be interesting if he plays Dimitrov in the quarterfinals, which I probably expect him to do so, because Dimitrov, you would imagine, would give him his sternest test. I think, you know, he's been the best player for me probably of the year, you know, over the course of the year. Federer, certainly the most consistent player over the course of the year. Obviously, with Rafa perhaps not playing here, that takes him out of the equation. But, I think Federer's my man still. You know, there's a big question mark over whether he can still win a major. You know, you shouldn't be forgotten his record here was phenomenal. You know, he won 5 in a row here at the US Open. So, you know, this is a place he loves. I'll stay with him. I think he's looked very good so far. Obviously dropping a set against Brunelez, but was able to turn that around pretty quickly. Plays Bautista or Gut, where he should come through there. And then the tests will start to come. I probably think that the match with Dimitrov could well be his sternest test before he gets to the final, if Dimitrov beats Monfils. But Federer, I think I'll stay with him.
Good, staying with Federer then, 9-4 in the outright betting at the moment. Thank you very much, Nick. It's been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Good luck with your selections. Enjoy the quarters, and look forward to speaking to you again later on in the tournament.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.